David John Oates is back as well, and he's back up on Skype. Are you there, David?
Yes, I certainly am. Can you hear me okay?
Very good. All right, and Dick Allgaier in Hawaii is standing by, the wonderful remote viewer, and we've got programs up with Dick on the site at Rents, you can see, and click and listen anytime you'd like. Are you there, Dick?
I'm here, Jeff, standing by.
Okay.
Can I put in a quick plug? The actual remote viewing, you can see all the raw sessions that Daz Smith and I did. It's a streaming video for purchase at farsight.org. So if people go to farsight.org, they can watch that. Thanks for letting me say that.
Yeah. You bet. All right. James, are you there?
Oh, yeah. Ask me if I'm surprised at what I'm hearing.
That was my next question. How do you feel about what you've heard so far?
Well, it's can you spell validation?
Total, with a capital V. If you would, David, play that last reversal, the three men running. I want to hear it on Skype, as our listeners will be able to hear it a little bit more clearly than on the phone. Get this now. This is Lee Harvey Oswald after the shooting in custody.
All three men are walking.
Yeah.
All three men are walking.
Is that clear on Skype?
Oh, my God, that is so clear, it's eerie.
Is that clear on Skype?
Yes, it is. Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right, well, the real bombshells are yet to come, and I'm aware we're running out of it. I don't know if I'm going to get through all of these.
All right, we're going to be quiet. You go ahead.
We will give it a big shot. Okay, now these ones on LBJ are a little bit out of order, unfortunately, so we'll just play them, and the picture will gradually unravel.
What raced through my mind was that if they had shot our president driving down there, who would they shoot next? And what was going on in Washington? And when would the missiles be coming?
Okay. Two sentences here. He says, adjust now, wash the head, fake the brow.
Adjust now, wash the head, fake the brow.
Can you hear that one okay?
I do. His allusion to head, washing the head, washing the blood off the head, whatever.
Had been surgically altered,
That's also correct. Jim, very quickly, the surgical alterations of John Kennedy's head by somebody included that brow area, correct?
Well, yeah, I believe so. It's to the top of the head. That is all in the FBI report. The two agents that attended the autopsy, they said there was surgery to the top of the head. They recorded that in their FBI reports. And, of course, there was not supposed to be any such...
None.
You know what I think it means? Can I say real quick what I got out of that one?
Go ahead.
You might want to play it again. I think Johnson is giving a rehearsed statement, and he's saying, like, tilt the, you know, how do you move your head, watch your brow. He's trying to act serious, like, oh, I've got to make my brow.
He's posturing.
He's
I got it. Yeah,
well,
he's,
that's possible, too, yeah. Well, when I found about, it, I thought it meant altering the body. That was
all right, well, he may be just drilled, and he's subconsciously thinking about how he has to physically act and present himself at this moment. Yeah, let's play it again.
It may be, Jeff, that I'm a TV guy, and that's what I was thinking. Like,
very good, Dick.
If you're making a serious statement like that, yeah. Keep your head canted a certain way. Keep your brow, you know, make your brow go a certain way. It gives it a more serious.
Very good.
Anyway,
that's all right.
Interesting.
Play it again, David.
Okay, here we go.
Adjust now, wash the head, fake the brow.
Adjust now, wash the head, fake the brow.
Adjust now, wash the head, fake the brow.
So he's maybe saying, watch the head, like, watch out what you're doing with your head. Watch the head, or is it wash?
Could be either.
All right. Well, anyway, all right. It's a possibility that it cuts both ways. Okay.
All right. Now we come to a very aggressive reversal.
And the Attorney General of the state holds courts of inquiries every time a law is violated. And the Justice and the FBI makes these investigations. So I want you to know that. You'll tell your press man that that's what's happening, and they can expect it.
And here he says, I ban...
Who is that?
Oh, that's LBJ. That's LBJ.
It didn't sound like him. All right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Do you want to play it again?
No, that's okay.
And he says, I banned that faggot. Very clear.
And what was the forwards, David, please?
The forwards was talking about the Justice Department and the FBI making an investigation.
Oh, my. You know who the faggot is?
Tell me.
Jim, tell us who the faggot is.
Yeah, that's poor old Lee.
That's who?
Lee.
It's not Lee. Right. No, he's talking about the FBI. He's talking about J. Edgar Hoover.
Oh, I see.
Yes. Right. Do that again. We'll get through this. We have to come back tomorrow. We'll do that too. But play that again. I believe he says I banned that faggot. I don't think LBJ liked Hoover, and I think that's who he's talking about.
All right. So here's the reversal again.
Yeah, you banned that faggot.
Just keep in mind that he's talking in forwards about the FBI it's right there.
It was someone who he clearly didn't like. So.
Yeah. Did we know, Jim, real quick, did he have any kind of a relationship with Hoover that worked, or did it not work?
Well, no, actually, they'd been pretty good friends. They'd you know, there's all these stories. Of course, some of that might have been just propaganda. I'm sure that both of them were jealous and leery and suspicious
of each other.
But,
sure,
but they had worked together. I don't know. Number one, it was hard for me to clearly understand that one. And it could have been referring to Hoover, who we all know now was a homosexual. But also, there was a lot of homosexual activity mixed up in the assassination. There's all kinds of allegations about Lee, about Jack Ruby, about the people in New Orleans, and so he could have been talking about most anybody.
Play that again backwards, if you would, so Jim can hear it again. Listen for the word faggot. You'll hear it, Jim. It's very clear right at the end.
Here it is again.
You're saying that's a faggot.
Quite clear.
You're saying that's a faggot.
Strong aggression on the word faggot.
Yeah.
Well, if he is referring to Hoover and he says, what do you say he's going to
I banned that faggot.
Yeah, that would be essentially that I've got him roped. I've got him controlled.
Got it.
Oh, you have to hear Hoover's reversal.
All right.
Okay, let's move on to another one. This one is just a straightforward. Where is it? This is just straightforward operational stuff.
We salute you for knowing how to take good men.
And he simply says, command, they get run on officials.
I want to remind everyone that all the syllables are there. Have to be there.
He's just in command. He's organizing the whole thing. He's getting ready for the Warren Commission. You might just see the reversals I've got on that.
Right.
He's just organizing the whole thing.
Okay.
So that's just a straightforward one. We have this one here.
Just picking out a Tom Dewey lawyer from New York, send him down on new facts, this commission thing. Mr. Herbert Hoover tried that, and sometimes a commission that's not trained hurts more than helps.
And here he says, it was madness that I had doubt.
It was madness that I had doubt.
Hear that one okay?
He said it. Scary clear. Scary clear.
I just think, I know the whole reversals. I just think he's thinking, you know, he had doubt before all this thing started whether it was going to work, and it did work, and, he was saying, I shouldn't have doubted.
Right. Wow. Yeah, makes perfect sense. Play it one more time, just the reversal. Jim, go ahead.
I like what he said going forward when he said we got to have a well-trained committee.
Oh, yes,
you got to have
know.
One that's going to do what you want them to do.
That's funny.
All right, it was madness that I had doubt.
It was madness that I had doubt. It was madness that I had doubt.
Very clear.
Okay, now he understands he's got the committee that he wanted. They're all going to support his story.
Yep, exactly right. Yep, that's exactly how I interpret it. Okay. All right, then we've got this one here. Oh, this is a bit out of order. This is from his address to Congress on the 27th of November, I believe it was.
For 32 years, Capitol Hill has been my home. I have shared many moments of pride with you. Pride in the ability of the Congress of the United States to act, to meet any crisis, to distill from our differences strong program of national action.
Here he says, it's no good that I'm a poison.
It's no good that I'm a poison.
It's no good that I'm a poison.
Hear that one, Jeff?
Yeah, it's all there. Not quite sure. How do you interpret that? All the syllables are there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's all there. His actions have been poisonous. He is a poisonous person. He touches death wherever he goes.
He's the central figure in this whole horror show. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
One of them, anyway. All right.
Yeah.
Good.
We still haven't got to the best ones yet.
Uh-huh.
Right. Okay, so this is another one. He's just preparing for the answer.
Too many cooks messing with the pot and mess it up. And I think that these two are trained organizations.
Yes.
And the Attorney General of the state holds courts of inquiries every time a law is violated. And the Justice and the FBI makes these investigations. So I want you to know that, and you'll tell your press man that that's what's happening.
And here he says, let's offset an answer.
And that's offset an answer.
And that's offset an answer.
There he is.
And that's offset an answer.
In other words, let's construct a plausible explanation.
Let's lie.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly right. Yep. Yep. And you can see him planning out in his mind. He's planning out his steps and actions and what he's going to do. And then his unconscious comes back and says something quite amazing. Here we go.
Two things. Apparently some lawyer in justice is lobbying with the Post because that's where the suggestion came from to this presidential commission, which we think would be very bad. Put it right in the White House. We can't be checking up on every shoot and scrape in the country, but...
Now, here he's worried because they're talking about a commission, and he's worried. This is right, I think, the day after or 2 days after. And he says backwards, you will not burn history. So eventually the truth is going to come out. He can't cover up history, is how I interpret that.
Yeah, yeah, very good. Wow.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
How are you going with these, Dick and Jim? Are you hearing all of these?
Yeah, I am. And that fits in, too. You know, it's interesting. Johnson, who should have been leading the charge, saying, no, it's just lone nut. That's it. That's the end of it. No, there's nothing else. He actually dropped hints now and then. He said, Oswald's a very intriguing fellow. And he said, on a couple occasions, he said, yeah, I think there might have been a conspiracy. And I think he said that because he knew in his deep in his heart that truth will out and that someday everybody know the truth. And he didn't want to look like a dumbass.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was trying to protect his legacy. That's it.
Yeah.
All right, here he is talking about the state inquiry in Texas.
General Texas to make an announcement this morning, yeah, of a state inquiry, and that you can offer him your full cooperation, and vice versa, he'll do it with you.
And this reversal says, paid the mayor off.
It's been the mayor off.
It's been the mayor off.
Yeah. Tell me about that one, Jim.
Okay, well, the mayor of Dallas at that time was Earl Cabell, okay? It was his brother, General Charles Cabell, who had been fired as deputy director of the CIA along with Alan Dulles because of the Bay of Pigs invasion, the fact that they were doing things behind the president's back. In fact, in my investigation of why the Bay of Pigs failed, it failed because they failed to carry out a second planned airstrike that would have totally knocked out Castro's Air Force, but the first airstrike, it was successful, but then the second one was called off, and that allowed Castro to use some fighter planes to attack the beachhead and the ships, the Barbara and the Houston, the two ships that were supplying the Bay of Pigs invaders, and that's what essentially caused the Bay of Pigs to fail. And I track that back not actually to President Kennedy, but to General Charles Cabell.
Right. Okay. Well, the name Charlie comes up in reverse on the mayor. So,
well, that's probably Charlie.
See that as we go. Okay. All right. Now we come to a very significant reversal. Soon as I can see it. Where is it? He's talking to Dulles. This is a conversation he's having with Dulles. And where's it gone? I got so many reversals on LBJ here.
I'd like to hear some reversals on Alan Dulles.
Oh yeah, I've got a good one on him. Okay, so here he's talking to Dulles.
Just get ready now to go in there and do a good job. We've got to have America's got to be united in this hour, and
Yes, it's hard to hear what Dulles is saying, but you can hear what LBJ is saying. It says, "I sent the money, you faked the gun."
Oh, I sent the money, you faked the gun.
Now that's clear.
Oh yeah, it is. Yeah.
Now, I don't know what to tell you about that one. That's a smoking gun. He has full knowledge. He knows what's happened. He has full knowledge, and he's talking to Alan Dulles. Is Dulles involved? See, Lee Harvey Oswald talks about a cabal of powerful people, and so does Jack Ruby, and we get clues as to who some of these people are. And here we have LBJ mention the name of Nixon. Here's the forwards.
And I wanted nonpartisan. I'm not going to point out I got 5 Republicans, 2 Democrats, but I'm going to do that. And I'm just then you forget what party you belong to and just serve as an American.
And here he says, "I made Nixon pull up the wrap."
Well, maybe it's pull up the wrap.
So what's Nixon got to do with this? What's pull up the rap? Is that pull up the rap sheet? Look into something? Dig for dirt?
Unveil something?
There is a document that surfaced that back in the 50s, early 50s, when the House Un-Americans Activities Committee was investigating organized crime, they were going to call one Jack Rubenstein of Chicago, and there was a note sent to them saying, "Do not call Jack Rubenstein of Chicago for open testimony because he's providing information functions for Congressman Richard Nixon."
Oh my gosh.
So Nixon and Ruby were connected.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Oh my. Indeed. Wow.
Well, I've got an interesting reversal on Nixon coming up too. Okay. Okay, so here he is. So here's LBJ again, mentioning another name now. And this one here, I've got, where is it? LBJ. You know what? I got so many reverses on LBJ. Where is it? Gee whiz, this is so frustrating.
It's all right.
No. You know what? I'll pull it off the website. That's what I'll do when I can't find it. That's the best thing to do.
Okay.
Here he is. He talks directly about George Bush. Here's the forwards.
I told him that you were waiting for him to come out and call on you.
You tell him that's your Christmas present coming.
And here he says, "I throw Bush down. I like it."
Man, that is clear. Just,
yes, it is.
Oh, yeah.
So what's Bush got to do with all of this? So now we've got Nixon. Yeah.
Dick Allgaier could tell you that.
Eh?
Dick Allgaier would have something to say about that. Now, this isn't Prescott Bush. This is George Herbert Walker Bush, who took his young son. How old would little Junior have been, Jim?
college age, maybe.
All right. He took his son, a teenager or just past his teen years, to Dallas to watch history. That's George Herbert Walker Bush, because Junior George W. was there in Dallas at Dealey Plaza. Go ahead, Dick.
So you hear all these reversals, and, you know, I grew up in the 50s and 60s thinking our government, we had honorable people, you know, running things, and now you find that it's just a den of vipers. They all are interconnected, and they're all crooks, and they're all pulling something over on us. It's just so sad.
There, one other thing, real quick. LBJ, the way he is speaking, does not sound to me like a man who has been through a severe shock emotional trauma.
Oh, no. He's in damage control.
Of course. He's an actor. He's a player, and he's doing what he is supposed to do. And it's clear in his... Now you hear it. His forward voice is spotless. It's right where it should be. He's a player. He's not traumatized.
This is something that was known for a long time. In fact, had been published in a book that tells me something. At the Parkland Hospital, Johnson was running around telling anyone who had listened that this could be the start of a communist plot, okay? And yet, twice, not once, but twice, he runs off and leaves the military officer with the nuclear launch codes, codename Football, leaves them behind. You know, he's supposed to be right there at the elbow of the president. So if there's a sudden attack, you know, he can launch a counterattack.
Right.
But Johnson, who's saying it may be a communist plot, he doesn't even bother to keep up with the guy with the launch codes.
He knows
better. He knows it's not a foreign plot.
Wow. All right. Go ahead, David.
So here he is addressing Congress on the 27th of November. When I heard this reversal, I just burst into laughter. I just couldn't help myself. So anyway, here's the forwards.
Mr. President, members of the House, members of the Senate, my fellow Americans, all I have, I would have given gladly not to be standing here today.
Backwards, he says, see the con.
See the con.
You got that one?
Yep.
Con.
Oh, yeah.
So his speech is a con.
That was his most dramatic speech, wasn't it, Jim?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a con. And his subconscious is saying it. It's a con.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
An actor. All right.
Yep.
Wow.
And then he has a rather insensitive reversal.
These and other American dreams have been vitalized by his drive and by his dedication. And now the ideas and the ideals which he so nobly represented must and will be translated into effective action.
And here he says, we die in the grave.
We die in the grave.
God, help us all, David. He's mocking.
I know.
That's a mocking tone.
Right. Oh. I know. You're absolutely right. I know.
It reminds me of the speech by Brutus and Cassius after they have personally killed Caesar.
Yeah. Very good point. Good analogy. Sorry. Wow.
All right. Here we have the next one.
We will be unceasing in the search for peace, resourceful in our pursuit of areas of agreement, even with those with whom we differ, and generous and loyal to those who join with us in common cause.
A lying sack of Texas rose fertilizer.
Well, the reversal says, blank them up.
Blank them up.
Okay.
Blank them up.
What can I say?
That's exactly right. Wow.
And as he's standing there talking peace, he's issued National Security Action Memorandum 273, which put us on the path to war in Vietnam and even widened it to Laos, Cambodia, and said we have to have plausible deniability. Okay.
A man butchered 65,000 American boys and, 1 to 2 million at least in that country.
Right.
Those countries. Good
in his
God.
Search for peace.
Yeah.
All right, next one. Here we go with the Fords.
We must be ready to defend the national interest and to negotiate the common interest. This is the path that we shall continue to pursue.
And here he says, I shield the path of great sin.
I shield the path of great sin.
Wow.
The great sin.
Clear as day.
I shield the path of great sin.
See, I think the great sin is a mighty crime.
Jim, that reversal right there, that man, there has never been a more evil man in this country's government than that man right there.
Well, there was one person who might have been even more evil than him, and that was his wife.
Oh, yeah, I've heard.
Lady Macbeth.
Bad, huh? I don't know. I just remember she was a phony. What he just said was told the whole story, ladies and gentlemen, dear friends. And many of you are listening to this probably who have never really delved into the answers except when Jim's been on the program or Dick Allgaier. But you're hearing now, this is the answer. This is the truth. This is what happened. Lyndon Johnson, right from that son of a bitch's mouth. Yeah, exactly. Excuse me. This is making me really, really upset. Play that again.
You won't get to Hoover, Jeff. You're upset now.
All right.
So I shield the path of great sin. Here it is.
I shield the path of great sin.
I shield the path of great sin. I shield the path of great sin.
He's lying to America. He's shielding the truth from all of us. I'm sorry. I got to stop.
Okay, listen to the next one. It says, this nation has experienced a profound shock.
This nation has experienced a profound shock.
And here he says, hush my fault here.
Hush my fault here. Hush my fault here. Hush my fault here.
What can I say? Could you hear that one? It speaks for itself, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it does.
This was so well orchestrated. Everybody had their role to play. They all played it. All butchers. Jim, how many people were killed as a result of the murder of John Kennedy to shut them up ultimately?
Well, it's hard to say because, you know.
I don't need an exact number, but.
I think we can safely put the number at somewhere close to 100.
Right, I agree. All right, very good. This is amazing, David. I really want to commend you for this. This is astonishing, and when you tie it in with what Jim has done and what Dick recently contributed and Daz, my God, it's over, folks. The lies have just been exposed.
Oh yeah, I got more to come, Jeff.
All right, go ahead.
All right, here he's talking about the brutal loss of our leader.
That from the brutal loss of our leader, we will derive not weakness, but strength.
And here he says, did you have a soul?
Did you have a soul?
Did you have a soul?
I think he's talking to himself.
I was going to ask you, is he not asking himself rhetorically? Yeah. Don't you have a soul, you piece of crap? What are you doing up here?
That's how I interpret the reversal, too. That's exactly what I thought it meant when I heard it.
Yeah. God, there's no other way to listen to it and analyze it. That his subconscious was repulsed at what he was doing.
Yep, you're exactly right. Can you see why I kept on ringing you, Jeff?
So what's that,
these
Jim?
These are not sing-songy reversals.
No.
These are very clear.
They sound just like he's talking. In, you know, some people their reversals kind of up and down and sing song. These like Trump's. Trump's are just very, very clear. These are very clear, but in a different way.
Yeah, Gary. You're right. You're right.
You can see why I kept on calling you, Jeff.
I do. Now I understand. Wow. I haven't. Listen, this is really for a lot of you listening out there. I'm sure you feel similarly as we all do. Here it is now. Jim, 52 years, remote viewing with Dick and Daz, but the Jim's 52 years, a half century of research on this, and it's all tied together perfectly with the subconscious truths being spoken by this cast of characters that will go down in history, in infamy, forever. Go ahead.
All right, here's the next one.
On the 20th day of January, in 1961, John F. Kennedy told his countrymen that our national work would not be finished in the first 1,000 days.
And here he says, we knocked him off.
We knocked him off. We knocked him off. We knocked him off.
There
you
go.
God.
What else do you want?
You want a smoking gun? There it is. Full knowledge. This was a coup d'etat. It was a change of government. It was no doubt about it.
Knocked him off. The cold-hearted killers. Yeah, and I must say that even to this day, that attitude is not only pervasive, but it is fundamental to the overall government and foreign policy of these formerly United States.
Yeah.
Human life means nothing.
This is when we lost the Republic. And by the way, I'm not surprised at all of this because I still have the newspaper I worked for in 1975. The headline story that I wrote said they were talking about doing a new investigation. I said if they'll actually do their job, they'll find out there was a coup d'etat in the United States in November of 1963. So I've been on to this, since 75.
Oh, you have. There's no higher honor that should be given to a journalist than what you have deservedly earned for this. That's just amazing. I'm so glad you're here to hear this. We've got the best. It's all here, folks. It's irrefutable now.
All right. Next one along is not on my sheet, so I'll play it straight off the site. Here we go.
This is our challenge, not to hesitate, not to halt, not to turn about and linger over this evil moment, but to continue on our course.
And here he says, this is a good con.
This is a good con.
This is a good con. God, unbelievable.
This is a good con.
Yeah, let's don't investigate. Let's don't find out what actually happened. Let's just move on. Bind up the wound.
We get there, J. Edgar Hoover. All right, here we go. Another one on LBJ.
No act of ours could more fittingly continue the work of President Kennedy than the early passage of the tax bill.
And here he says, "Here the neck deserved to go."
Here the neck deserved to go.
Not as clear as the others.
I got it. Would you please play that we knocked him off again and see if you can turn it up a little louder? I want you folks to hear this again. This is really
the best. Yeah. Okay. Here we go.
All right. Just matter of fact, just like you're throwing the trash out. We threw the trash out.
Is he saying we knocked him off? Or
that's right.
Knocked him off?
No, we
knocked him off. We knocked him off.
So we, okay.
Yeah, we knocked him. All right, look, okay, let me jump the gun here. I'm dying to play this one. I'm going to jump ahead to Hoover. Just a smoking gun on Hoover, and then we'll continue with the LBJ.
Right.
Had police sign along the curbstone, looking at the crowd. When the parade came along, the police turned around and looked at the parade.
And this verse says, "And I killed them all, I make you."
Ernest Houston all a meteor.
Ernest Houston all a meteor.
You hear that one?
Ernest Houston all.
Yes, sir. We sure do.
Killed them all. All the people involved. And I make you, I've made you, Johnson. I put you in the role of president. I now have you in my pocket. I make you.
He was God, wasn't he? He was playing God.
Yep, absolutely right.
Okay, David, now here's when Hoover got his payback. He made him, and then in January of 1964, Johnson held a press conference in the Rose Garden of the White House,
and
praised Hoover, and exempted him from the mandatory retirement age,
right,
and thereby installed him as FBI director for life.
Dictator yeah. for life. It's kind of like extending the lifespan of a nuclear power plant. It's no end to it. This is amazing what I'm hearing. Just amazing. I play that again, just the reversal, please.
I killed them all, I make you.
Ernest healed them all, I make you.
And I killed them all.
Ernest healed them all, I make you. Ernest healed them all, I make you.
And you folks think there's not a satanic Luciferian evil in this country, on this planet? There you are. There it is. LBJ, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. That's all right. Moving back to LBJ. Yeah. I just had to play that one after play.
Yeah, that's fine. That was very good. Wow.
All right. Next one on LBJ.
Let us turn away from the fanatics of the far left and the far right. From the apostles of bitterness and bigotry.
And here he says, kill not sudden.
Yeah, we're not sudden.
Yeah, we're not sudden.
So they planned it out, David. They planned it. They planned it out. Long time.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what that reversal tells me. You got the same conclusion I did. Yep. Yeah, it was a long-term plan. And we know that Lee Harvey Oswald knew about it at least in August.
Yeah.
Now, here we have a name. I don't know who this is, and it's mentioned once by LBJ and once by, it might have been George Bush. I can't remember. I'm in Hoover. Hang on, LBJ, Congress. Gee, I don't know why some of these files aren't here. Okay, I'll play it off my website. Okay, here we go.
That I rededicate this government to the unswerving support of the United Nations.
I'm sorry. Okay, the reversal says, evil come will upset David.
Who's David?
I don't know. I don't know who David is. I've no idea.
Biblical expression?
No. I think he's referring to David Rockefeller.
Oh. That is there's a logical progression. Interesting.
Oh, interesting, yeah.
But I'm not sure why it would upset David, because David Rockefeller had been paying out of his own pocket for page ads in the New York Times blasting Kennedy's economic policies. So you'd think he would be, in favorable with LBJ, but it could be that LBJ was going ahead and allowing some legislation to go through that might, that Rockefeller might not have wanted.
Mm.
You know, it's the same thing that Johnson did by ramming through the integration laws, okay, which I think he knew it was inevitable. And I think that, in fact, the only reason that they got through as they did was because he was perceived as a Southern conservative, and he managed to push through the civil rights law. And again, I think that number one, that was a distraction to get people's mind off the assassination. And number two, that was a way of assuring him, a good mention, in the history books. He knew it was going to happen anyway, so he might as well put his name on it.
Very good.
Well, I'm sure that you can see so far that LBJ was involved in this right up to his eyeballs. He was, the reversal is just absolutely plain. There's just no doubt,
right,
as far as I can see.
So, no.
All right, now we've got a reversal. I don't know what it means. Maybe Jim can help me out with this. Here's the forwards. Oh, yeah, okay. Now we're moving on to the phone conversation between LBJ and Hoover on the 29th of November.
All right. Okay.
To appoint a high-level one to evaluate your report.
Yeah.
And put somebody that's pretty good on it from that I can select out of the government and tell the House and Senate not to go ahead with the investigation.
Yeah.
Now, that's a very interesting forward because he's saying, I want to appoint a commission so the House and Senate will not go ahead with the investigation.
Right. Yeah, he was very concerned. Yeah. He was very concerned because both the House and the Senate had said, well, we're going to have an investigation, find out what happened. Also, Wagner Carr, the Attorney General of Texas, had said, we're going to form a committee down here and find out what happened. And Johnson was, and I'm sure Hoover, too, was very afraid of having some commission that they couldn't control. So yeah. We have here Johnson saying, you know, well, I can pick a commission and we can put a stop to these others.
Yeah, he also mentioned he wanted to appoint somebody from government, meaning he wanted to put his own man in there.
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I've got reversals from some of the members of the Warren Commission, so you'll see them too. Now, this reverse, I've no idea what it means. That girl was in the garden alone. Whoops, here we go.
That girl was in the garden alone. That girl was in the garden alone.
No idea what it means.
Do you know when that was recorded?
Yeah, 29th of November, 1963.
Now, that's the phone call with Hoover.
That's the phone call with Hoover.
Okay, the girl was in the garden alone. Is that a parable for innocence or something? And looking back at Kennedy, he had no idea what was about to happen to him? He was
in the garden alone.
No. I don't know what it means, but I put it down because I heard it. I thought someone might have some clue. Anyway, doesn't matter. All right, so that's the mystery. If someone knows what that is, email me. I would be like to put a bit of a clue on this one. All right, now he's talking. Oh, yeah, okay. So here he's talking about his closeness to Hoover.
You're more than the head of the Federal Bureau, as far as I'm concerned. You're my brother and personal friend, and you have been for 25, 30 years.
And see, here he says, I mean this, my love for it.
I'm being nursing my robbery.
What the hell? I don't get that one.
My robbery.
Yeah, one verse is saying I banned that faggot, and then he says I mean this, my love for it, talking about being a friend of Hoover.
Well, maybe. I don't know. That's an odd one.
Yep. Okay, no worries. All right, next one along. Yeah, he's. This is still from the conversation, of course. Here we go.
He was connected with the Cuban operation with money. You were trying to.
That's what we're trying to nail down now.
And here he just simply says, "And I'm the one to show."
And I'm the one to show. And I'm the one to show. And I'm the one.
It almost could be, and I'm the one to share it. Almost, it's. I hear show, but it could be his accent. It sounds like share.
Okay, I'll try it again.
And I'm the one to share.
Oh yeah, I can hear
and
that
I'm
one.
The one to share.
Yeah, it's hard to call that one.
Share it, I think possible.
Yeah, I think it simply means, you know, he's got the answers. He knows what happened. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have a really interesting reversal. Where is that one? Very important reversal. Okay, here we go. Two reversals are right next to each other. Here's the forwards.
I want to put out some things you think ought to happen, and I won't involve you in court, get you in jurisdictional disputes or anything, but I'd like to at least advocate them as my opinion.
I'll be very glad to indeed. I certainly appreciate your confidence.
Well, thank you.
Fine.
Okay, two reversals. First one says, they choke me, God.
They choke me, God. They choke me, God.
And again. So he's under threat from someone, and the next reversal says United States is on threat.
United States is on threat. United States is on threat.
Now, that's still LBJ, right? That's not
that's
Hoover.
LBJ. That's all LBJ. Right. The United States was on threat. A coup d'etat had just taken place.
Yeah.
And they choked me, God, all the co-conspirators in the coup, which I think Nixon was one, Bush was another. We're going to get on to, Eisenhower as we go on. It's all here.
All right. Go ahead, David. Yeah.
Okay, so now we're going to move on to Hoover, okay? All right. How are we going, Dick and Jim? You've been, is all this sinking in?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Quite enlightening.
Yep, okay. All right, so...
I have a quick comment about that LBJ one we just heard where he was talking about Hoover, and he first called him a faggot, and then he said, I love it.
Well, he's talking to him on the phone live, too, yeah.
Yeah, he could LBJ could dislike the man but like what he was doing because Hoover was
sure.
furthering his aim. So it's not contradictory at all in my opinion.
No, understood. Very good.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Okay, next one along.
Usually the presidential car in the past has had steps on the back next to the bumpers, and they've usually been one on either side standing on those steps at the back bumper.
And here he says, after the talk, we set it up.
After the talk, we set it up. After the talk, we set it up.
Jeez.
Yep, and that's just straightforward. There was a meeting at some level where they sat down and talked about all of this and planned it all out, and then they set the whole thing up, okay?
Well, he said we set it up, and that's interesting. He's saying that in the context of talking about the footrest on the rear bumper of the car, because normally there should have been two Secret Service agents on either side of the rear of the car holding the handhold and standing in the little foot wells there, but they were waved off at... Love Field in Dallas. In fact, there's that famous clip, you can see it on YouTube, where they're ordered back and off the car and they're throwing their arms up like, what are we doing here?
I'll never forget that, Jim. The guy on the right looked right toward the camera, held both arms, palms up. What the hell are you doing?
Exactly. Why are you taking me off this guard duty?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a setup.
Yep. All right, now we have, here we have Hoover talking about Jack Ruby. And here we go, here's the Fords.
Because they accepted him as kind of a police character hanging around police headquarters.
And here he says, he's a blank head.
He's a suckhead.
So obviously didn't have much respect for Jack Ruby.
No.
Ruby was just a patsy right along with Oswald.
He was another Kleenex in the box.
Yep.
Okay, so next one on...
we're going to go, Todd, we're going to go about... let's go about 3 minutes past, about 59 on the hour. Go ahead, David.
Okay. All right, next one along.
But then a number of stories come in. We've tried Oswald into the Civil Liberties Union in New York, membership into that, and of course into this this Cuban Fair Play Commission committee, which was pro-Castro and dominated by communism and financed to some extent by the Castro government.
And here he says, a mug will blank it up.
A mug will crack it up.
A mug will crack it up.
And again.
A mug will crack it up.
I think he was worried about loose ends somewhere, okay? And all his carefully laid plans would come falling down, and I think he probably went and tidied up those loose ends, but I think he was worried about loose ends. That's the only thing I can think of from that reversal.
Right.
Here we have an interesting reversal. Run this one forwards.
How many shots were fired? Three. Any of them fired at me? No, there was nothing. All three of the president, and we have them. Two of the shots fired at the president were splinted, but they had characteristics on them so that our ballistic expert was able to prove that they were fired by this gun.
Here he says, and the truth of epitome.
And the truth of epitome.
And the truth of epitome. And the truth of epitome.
I think the epitome was President Kennedy. He was the epitome, the pinnacle of...
Yeah,
he cut him down.
Interesting construct, but yes, you're right. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Now, here we have an interesting reversal. I'm not too sure. Hopefully, Jim can help me out with this one.
On that floor, we found the three empty shells that had been fired.
And here he says, blank, the word starting with S, met Houston Mafia.
Hit my Houston Mafia.
Okay, so that ties in the Mafia, but why Houston? Because I thought it was Chicago Mafia who were involved in this. I mean, I don't know.
I would need to go back and check on this, but I think in my book, Crossfire, there was a Houston gambler who was arrested and put on trial. And in his testimony, he said that a portion of the gambling profits in Texas went to LBJ. So,
really?
Could
be a reference to that.
That's very interesting. Todd, please
find his name.
Yeah, turn the music down, Todd. Let's go for another 2 minutes here, if we can, please. Go ahead, David.
Okay, all right. So we're still on Hoover here. Here's the Fords.
Now, there's one angle of this thing that I'm hopeful to get some word on today. This woman, his wife, had been very hostile. She would not cooperate.
And here he says, hit inaugural mistake.
It's an inaugural mistake.
It's an inaugural mistake. It's an inaugural mistake.
What does that mean?
Well, Kennedy should have never been inaugurated in the first place.
Kennedy to get elected.
He's speaking retroactively. I got it.
He should have never been elected. So we hit him. You know, it was an inaugural mistake.
Got it.
To put Kennedy in office in the first place.
Wow.
It's a straightforward admission, Jeff.
I missed the first part of it. Jim, Kennedy was a dead man from the moment he was sworn in.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he was. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Here's the thing nobody stops to think about. I'm sure at some point they thought, well, you know, we didn't want him, and he slipped in unexpectedly. But, hey, he's Joe's Kennedy's boy, so I'm sure we can keep him under control. But then in December of 1962, I believe it was, Joe Kennedy had a stroke. He didn't die, so there wasn't any big publicity about it, but that's when they totally lost control over Jack.
Got it. Very good. All right, now we do have to pause for just a few minutes. We'll come right back on this most astonishing look into the reality of the John Kennedy assassination and the coup d'etat. Yes,
yeah.
Jim?
The guy's name is Jack Halfen, H-A-L-F-E-N, former associate of Bonnie and Clyde and Frank Costello and the Genovese mob. Was the mob's gambling coordinator in Houston.
There you go.
For income tax evasion, 1954, he revealed how Houston gambling netted almost $15 million a year, with 40% going to Marcello, 35% to Halfen, and 25% to Texas politicians, which would have been Johnson.
Unbelievable. Is that out of your book?
Yeah.
My correct. God.
If people just read my book, they'd learn all about it. They
that's
know
it. As I said at the beginning of the program, Crossfire is the book, period.
Well, all these reversals are just supporting everything you've already found.
Exactly.
Well, that Houston...
Why, you know, truth is truth. You can't alter the truth.
What a plug-in you came up with that reversal of mentioning Houston. Wow. All right, we do have to pause. We'll come right back, gang. Another hour to go. Hold on.